Welcome to episode 33 of The Teacher's Lift. As teachers, we've all had to grapple with new ways of doing our job in spite of many challenges presented by the pandemic. In this episode, we're going to take a look at how the pandemic has also changed how we mount professional development activities. Our hosts, Colin and Aditi, are talking to Lillian Wong and Ashley Hazel about their experiences when faced with the prospect of moving a major international conference online overnight. It's a daunting task that I'm looking forward to hearing more about. So I'll turn it over to the crew. Have a great show, everybody.
Teacher's Lift episode today, we are talking to Dr. Lillian Wong and Ashley Hazel, who recently organized the first online conference at the Center for Applied English Studies at Hong Kong U. The Hong Kong Continuing and Professional Development Conference 2021 for University English Teachers was originally meant to be a regular face-to-face conference, but plans had to be changed rather abruptly due to COVID. And Lillian, who's the driving force behind the conference, assisted by Ashley, handled this transition extremely successfully. And this is what Colin Tate and I, Aditi Jhaveri, would be talking to our guests about today. Welcome, Lillian. Welcome, Ashley. We are so happy to have you here today.
We're happy to be here, yeah.
Hey there.
Hi, Colin.
You good?
Hi. Hi, Colin.
Hello. Hi, Aditi. Hello, Lillian. Hello, Hazel.
So yeah, we are extremely interested to know. I mean, this must have been so difficult all along the entire year you prepared for a face-to-face conference. And then, you didn't know whether ultimately you would be doing a face-to-face or an online. So there was this whole period of uncertainty. And gradually, finally, you had to make it an online conference. It must have been really hard. So what sort of effort, time, human resources did you put in for changing this conference to a virtual one? What did you have to do?
Yes, as you said, the uncertainty. Really, that was quite mentally and emotionally difficult to make the right decision. I mean, as in all other situations during this period of time. But looking at the time, we had to make a decision. So in fact, in March, we made the decision to postpone the conference. So that was the first time that we decided that we had to do something. We couldn't really, move forward for the original plan. That was a face-to-face conference in June in 2020. So after the postponement, during the summer, I still remember that there was that big wave. Was it the third wave?
Oh, yes. In
July. So we had some kind of seemed to be quite a happy time in May. So we thought maybe it could happen, face to face, because I was still hoping to have it face to face. But then in July, we knew that was the third wave coming. So, but the conference was postponed to January. So I was still debating and talk with the team and say, should we further postpone it? But the situation was very uncertain still. And we considered a number of factors, thinking that if the situation became better in January, then people might want to travel. They might not, want to spend their time, no matter if it would be a face-to-face conference or hybrid conference or virtual conference, they would like to travel. What I mean is to have their holidays. Yes. So it was hard. It was really hard. But Ashley would say that, I talked with her and I said, Ashley, come to join us for a face-to-face conference. And that's how she got committed. And so that means we really were planning for that, but when we had to change, then the decision was hard to make it, whether it would be, as I just said, a hybrid one or a virtual one. So that was still, I was like thinking about it when you asked me to come to share my experience. Mm-hmm. I was like, even in June, I prepared some ideas with the team about if it would be a virtual one or a hybrid one. What would be the differences in terms of the two? And so that was our discussion in June. And then we made our decision in July that, because for a conference, we do need time, you know, to make the changes, to let the participants know, especially the presenters who were with us throughout the whole time. So so that time, I think the time and timing was very difficult.
Ashley, what was your reaction? Did you feel panic? Did you feel like you were up to it, ready to handle whatever the situation may be?
Well, for me, I mean, the idea of a virtual conference was like the end of the world.
All right, why is that?
Lillian, I think, had a hard time kind of persuading me, and I was giving her all the negatives. But in true Lillian spirit, she kept saying, "No, we can do this." And so I eventually came. I just thought, this is never going to happen physically. So at just one point, I thought, right, I've just got to go. Got to go with this, go with what Lillian's suggestion, and stop putting up all these kind of obstacles. I was given all the kind of challenges, mm-hmm. rather than seeing the positive side. But as I do usually, I come around. I came around and I saw that this could be a really good experience, mm-hmm. for us and for Hong Kong universities.
Was it a good experience?
Yeah, I mean, in the end, I think, you know, Lillian reminded me that Lillian and I have been working for around 10 years together on physical conferences. So I've been with Lillian organizing the first symposium, one that we had at Hong Kong U when I was newly there, and then the two international faces. So we've kind of it was kind of probably the next version that we had to do. We started off with a small symposium, then these two, you know, kind of major international conferences, and then back to something different. So I kind of just changed my mindset and thought, no, this is going to be another really good learning experience, you know, for my professional development, but also I think it's going to be a great thing to show that, you know, we can go ahead with this. So it was a tough kind of time for Lillian convincing me, and I realized that I did kind of put up barriers. But in the end, it was a great experience, and yes, I learned so much. It was a huge learning curve for me, but I think definitely a positive one.
No, it's great that the two of you were, you know, together as a team, because I think Lillian's the one who must be going, yes, we can do it. And you must be, these are the reasons why we can't do it. So you need both kinds of people to, you know, the optimistic one and the slightly pessimistic one to make it work.
Well, I think in my defense, I'm usually, it's, you know, I look after the events management. So it's all about really the physical side of it, whereas Lillian is there right from the beginning. You know, with the, you know, sorting out the plenaries, getting everything organized, all the kind of, you know, back end stuff for the physical conference I'm talking about. Whereas, you know, everything that I'm part of is about, you know, the cultural activities, everything visual, the presenters, the rooms, the student helpers, the notices, the directions, you know, so everything for me was about something very, you know, very concrete that you could touch and you could see. So for me, the idea of then converting it to a visual experience was a very difficult concept for me.
Yes.
And that was the problem. So I had to change that in my mind and try and visualize it in a virtual way.
It would be hard for anybody.
Yeah, hard for everybody. And but with Ashley's experience and we working together very well from as what Ashley said, from 10 years ago, that was very helpful. I mean, Ashley actually was very enthusiastic. I mean, even though she's enthusiastic, I mean, she just got onto this. I mean, she knew that she was committed, and so she just got onto this and we talk. I told her my plan and the ideas, and I knew that I could just rely on her to think about that part, which was really very helpful. I mean, I didn't really need to go into the details about, you know, how could we do this, and how, you know, just talk about some plans and ideas. She could just take care of that part.
I completely accept that I was not very enthusiastic, but if I've committed to something, I'll always go ahead. And my mind can change quite quickly. So I could see in the end, I could see the bigger picture. And Lillian is a very persuasive person. So.
Yeah, the feedback was very positive, right? On the conference, extremely positive. But one sort of comment that really kind of stood out to me, and I wanted to really ask you about, was you know, some people said they've had experience of these kind of virtual conferences before, but they've been quite disappointing. But they said that this conference really worked in the way other virtual conferences haven't maybe worked as well. Well, what do you think was it that you did that was different to maybe other virtual conferences that made it as successful as it was?
I think one of the things I also mentioned to Ashley was that that's why her part was very important. That was the the socializing part, which I for to prepare for this conference or for the change. In fact, I attended using the summer last year. I attended a few virtual conferences myself. I talked to some virtual conference organizers. They were also kind of like us, you know, they had to do a virtual conference or moved a face-to-face conference to a virtual one in, you know, a few months time, you know, like kind of like us. So I also talked with them about the experiences, and so that's how I found that what participants really like was something that they could communicate with each other, they could interact with each other. For myself, when I attended those virtual conferences, I also found that a lot they used webinar mode. I'm getting into something more specific. So that means like something participants, they couldn't really interact with each other. What they could see was just the presenter. And also, they were not able to interact even using like chat or these kind of features. So I think that was really one thing that that made our conference successful or overall effective in giving the opportunities for participants to interact during presentation times and also out of the presentation times in other parts of the program. So programming is another area. So again, that's also actually really helped a lot in that part in relation to the social networking and social event.
But I would think that when people go to a conference, they like the opportunity to actually meet people, exchange cards. I mean, this has been our experience, to go and see the city together. So when this probably was not on the table because of the virtual conference. So did you experience a big dropout or people not attending? How was it like?
No, in fact, I was actually quite surprised that we got around 1,200 registrants, and we were able to accept 1,000 because of the limitation of the, you know, of the platform itself. Not the platform was limited. In fact, we had to pay, you know, if we increase it to another number, we had to pay more. So it wasn't like in one person adding in, it was like another 500 that we had to pay. So that's why we had to keep it to 1,000. So that means I would actually like to accept, say, the extra 200 registrants. So, but then it was related to cost, because I really wanted to keep it to the minimal cost, because we decided not to charge registration fees. So that was also something that we had to keep in mind. Costing, I would say, was one of the things to really think about too. So, and that means with what platform to choose, so as to provide that, you know, as you said, the networking, interaction, and also, you know, talking with each other opportunities. So that would be affected by the platform and what we use Zoom. Another reason why we use Zoom, which could be integrated into the platform, was that is a platform that is very familiar with everybody. So that I thought that would have an advantage, making it easy and simple. Similarly, choosing that platform, also a simple, easy to use platform. That was another very important factor. But that platform itself didn't come with element of social networking. What I mean is, some other platforms, they might have, say, a networking lunch. So we created our own networking area for participants. So we had to think about something that we had to build in ourselves in the program, and also something that we linked to like a discussion forum. So we integrated some of these interactive features into the platform itself, and also the event in the program.
Uh-huh. Okay, so like Ashley was talking about the socializing aspect of the conference and also the cultural activities. I remember that in the Faces of English conference, part one and two, there were so many cultural activities and people were really bowled over. How was that accomplished in the online conference?
We had to take a completely different concept because it couldn't be wholly visual. So obviously it had to be something a lot more contained. You know, we couldn't do the lion dance, for example. We could, but we couldn't. So we still went to, for that element, we still were able to go to the Hong Kong Tourist Board. And they were luckily just producing a new Hong Kong video for tourists, which involved, you know, the lion dance and all the great views of Hong Kong. So we could, you know, we could very simply interpret our lion dance kind of opening at the opening ceremony and bring in a video of it. Of course, it's not the same, but it was, for me, it still kind of sent shivers down the back of my spine watching it. It still gave me a feeling that, you know, we were trying to present Hong Kong to our international participants. So it was kind of trying to make the best of what we couldn't really do in a 3D situation, where we could hear things, see things, you know, turn to our friend and say, wow. So it was a different thing, but we hoped, I think people, the participants realized that we were trying to, you know, give them a similar experience. And that was one of the things, one of the elements that we were trying to create. So we just had to think of different things. So we had the ELT quiz time. So we had kind of quite well-known, professors, lecturers from universities. So Alan Ermston, Dr. Alan Ermston, and Stephen Bolton. So people that were kind of well-known. We tried to make this fun quiz that people could get involved. What else did we do? Another thing that I was very kind of keen to do was bring in the student hosts that were helping. And so we had a lunchtime event where participants could ask the students about their learning with COVID and the problems, and, you know, asking, you know, why don't you put on your cameras and what's it about this? So kind of freely asking them, and the student helpers that were from mainly Baptist U and Poly U, They absolutely loved being part of it and being able to answer these questions, because they were behind the scenes in every single Zoom room for the presentations, and seeing all these people and not being able to say anything, then they had this chance.
Was there any particularly memorable answers from the students?
I think we needed more time. There were about 30 or 40 people there trying to kind of ask their question, and they were answering honestly, because, you know, we weren't their teachers. So I think I can't remember, Colin, to be honest.
Okay, yeah.
There was so much going on.
I had
three computers. I had my phone. I was on WhatsApp, kind of telling someone to go to another room, and, you know, kind of checking something in another room on another computer. For me, it was this kind of huge multitasking event in my brain that hadn't happened, that I had to blow away the cobwebs a little bit. Mm-hmm. So it's quite hard for me. I couldn't really concentrate on a lot of the presentations or what was going on, because there was too much happening behind the scenes. But it was fun. That was fun as well. But I think going back to the cultural side, it was just trying to envisage a 3D thing in a 2D kind of environment. You couldn't have the same, you know, the same atmosphere. So you had to change things that worked online. So quizzes, chats. We had breakfast bites, and we had three amazing colleagues.
Can you explain the breakfast bite? How did that activity work?
This was 8:30. This kicked off the day's event. So we had three very bright and breezy colleagues that were very happy to get everybody in the mood at 8:30 with little quizzes and fun and what's the weather like and how are you doing over there in Singapore and what's happening. It was a nice start, and luckily we got colleagues from different universities who fitted the activity and fitted the profile of the host of the activity that we wanted. A huge part of it for me was the fact that English language colleagues from different universities all came together, and we had kind of the best talent for the best kind of events that came forward to help with these. So that was also, I think, that detailing, I think, helped as well.
Yeah. So would you say that an online conference has some inherent advantages over a face-to-face one after having done one?
Yeah, there were a number of challenges, but also a number of advantages. What Ashley just said, in terms of involving people, I would say, from the participants from around the world, we could get more people involved. Mm-hmm. So we ended up having 750 people really participated during the few days of the conference from 75 countries.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So, and then also our own colleagues, we had over maybe 40 something to 50 colleagues really supporting us in relation to running the conference those few days. And also student helpers, around 20 of them. And then also a lot of presenters, including, you know, you guys here, like as presenters, right? And also from around the world. In fact, we had over 200 presenters from around the world. And I also said earlier, 1,000 attendees. Mm-hmm. I mean, at the end, we had 750 really participated. So, I mean, in terms of that, I think that was really an advantage with a virtual conference. Mm-hmm. You could really have people from around the world participate. So it then relied on us, how we could provide them with an environment that they can really make the best out of it. So I also remember that I talked to Ashley, one of the things at the beginning, I said, I really want it to be an enjoyable and rewarding experience for the participant. So that was what we kept in mind to do. how could we make it rewarding and enjoyable? So, yeah, I think that was the goal.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I can see the advantage being that distance is no longer a barrier. People who don't want to travel, people who don't want to, you know, commute these long distances, you can just do it in the privacy of your home, and that's wonderful.
I want to add that, in fact, the conference went really well technically. In fact, overall, really well. I mean, when I look at the comments and also some people who wrote to us afterwards, really said seamlessly, you know, faultlessly, like that. So just very little things at the back end. But for a virtual conference, that's why I said for a virtual conference, it went really, really well in terms of the technical part. And yeah, and in fact, we didn't really have a big team. If you say about the technical team, it was basically the RA and also the student helpers. And that's all. So that means that was one of my biggest concerns, you know, preparing for the conference. I mean, a number of things to really to consider. This was one of the biggest. And security issues, I mean, so also related to technical issues. Yeah, so these were the things.
So we had to come up with contingency plans. Okay, what if we do get Zoom bombed? The students... The colleague hosts who are helping to present, introduce the presenters and the student helpers all knew exactly what to do.
What was it? What did you say? Zoom bomb?
Zoom bomb.
Is that like photo bombing, is it?
It's when someone enters your Zoom room and is not invited, it's not supposed to be there.
So security issue, I remember talking to Ashley at the beginning too. I said, well, you know, that actually that was related to also registration. From the registration time, we had to look at the participants who registered, because not as a face-to-face conference, people would be there and then you could see them. But here, you know, they came from anywhere. So and you would not know. I mean, they could put in, you know, from somewhere but may not be from there. So, you know, when they registered, right? So we did actually do some checking, and so as to accept people, and they gave them an account to the conference, because with that one account they could do anything within the conference platform. So so that was important. And also, like Ashley said, when we did the briefing with the student helpers and also our colleagues, we also talk about what to do and be prepared for these issues. So another thing I'll say, like to really pay attention to, would be really the spending time on communicating with different groups of people, including our helpers, our colleagues, our host, I mean, like event, I mean, different event host and also moderators, and also our speakers, the invited speakers and the presenters. So all of these, we offered different briefing sessions. I mean, invited speakers, I spent maybe an hour with each group. So there were 10 groups. So, and then also the presenters, we offered them some open sessions that they could come and join. And so as they know about the platform, and also they could ask questions. So for virtual conference, because people have to rely on themselves. I mean, what I mean is like the technical support is themselves, you know, so we can't really give them that much technical support. But we could, what we could do would be to show them what they can expect when they come in. And also, like Ashley said, like imagine some scenario, especially with our supporters and the helpers and volunteers, right? So that kind of things, the preparation time in relation to the support would be very important.
You mentioned that people said that the conference was seamless. It was, you know, almost effortless. What other kind of comments did you have from the participants?
well, in fact, quite a lot said about the high quality conference. So this one said it was a great and high quality conference, the warmest and the easiest to navigate one, which participants were all committed and enthusiastic. And presentations were quality ones. There was a range of thoughtful and well-designed activities in between with varieties that created opportunities for us to dialogue with other participants, establish bonding, and mutually develop. It was indeed a brilliant experience for me, and I'm sure for all others. So I was so happy to see this. I shared this with the team, with helping to really put this together. Similar one, like, I'm truly impressed of how a virtual conference can be promoted and run thoughtlessly with the use of all the text and social media platforms. All the arrangement, the schedule, topic selection, and logistics were well thought through. You have set up a role model of how a virtual TNL conference can be organized very successfully to bring together the EAP communities around the world together. Yeah, so, and then just a few days ago, I received a request from BALIP, the EAP Association in the UK, BALIP. So they are organizing an international conference in April. So one of the organizers came to our conference, and then she wrote, she said, "I came to the conference. It was very impressive, really excellent. I really enjoyed it." And then she asked if we could share with them, they would acknowledge it, what we posted, some of the information we posted on our website. She said that was really helpful, and in fact the speaker support guidelines was excellent, she said. So that was a bonus for her, apart from coming to the conference to enjoy the conference, was, like she said, a really useful source of information for running an online event. So from the information that we provided for the speakers and also for the participant. Yes. So
I remember because you had given us the choice to either have pre-recorded or live presentations, and the instructions for the pre-recorded conference presentation were so clear that when I went through it, I was like, okay, this is hard to mess up. No, that was great. And now that you've received all these wonderful comments from people and things did work out amazingly, do you think you want to do another virtual one? If you had a choice between face-to-face and virtual, would you opt for a virtual conference?
Ashley, what do you think? I would have to have Ashley.
I would still go for a physical, just because I think, we are human beings. We need to see each other, talk to each other, have coffee with each other, sit next to each other, comment during a presentation, see what's going on. I think the virtual conference, if I look at it from the point of view of the participant, it is all about the experience. Aditi, you said at the beginning, going to a different country, getting involved in the culture, going out for dinner, seeing the sights, coming back, talking about it with other participants. There's too many positives. I just think it is probably now an alternative. Costs are lower, time is saved. You can concentrate probably a little bit better. You are probably going to see more presentations in a virtual environment. I think you've got, I just think this will be the new discussion, shall we do a virtual this time or shall we do a real conference? But for me, even though a physical conference is physically and mentally more challenging and takes a lot longer over, 2 years, we start for the international faces of English. Mm. We started two years ahead, I think, for the first one and a year and a half ahead before the other one. And the virtual, for me, I came in later than Lillian, so probably, 5-6 months. But I would say physical, even though it is a lot more money, a lot more tiring, there is a lot more work to do from my side anyway. I can't speak for the other, you know, areas. But for me, physical.
Lillian, what about you?
Yeah, I think I also prefer a physical one. As what Ashley said, the networking side, the interaction, to that's really a big part, I would say, apart from listening to presentations. In fact, that's something that you kind of look forward to do, right? I mean, that travel and seeing another place and meet people, which is something that a virtual conference can't provide to a big extent. I would say I think also would be a physical conference, but that would mean more, even more work than a virtual one. I mean, we could change a physical conference to a virtual one really from, I would say, from July. So I really work on it every day, Monday to Sunday. I mean, but still, in like, you know, 6 months, 7 months time, right? So we changed a face-to-face conference to a virtual one. But we would not be able to do to do a face-to-face conference really just, you know, within 6-7 months. That's impossible, yeah.
I can see the merits of a face-to-face one. And at the same time, as you said, the number of people who attended it was very high. And there is something to be said about people who don't have the resources, who don't get conference grants, who don't have the money, that virtual is a way to include everyone. And in a way, it's a great leveler among academics. On that note, thank you so much, Lillian. Thank you so much, Ashley. It was wonderful getting to know about how you organize this virtual conference. And hopefully this will give some ideas to other people on how to go about arranging their conferences.
Okay. Yes, thank you for this opportunity to share our experiences with you.
Yeah,
sure. Thank you.
And definitely, thank you. Look forward to the next one.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Teachers Lift. It was great to have our friends from the Hong Kong Continuing Professional Development Hub here in person. You can find out more about their work at hkcpdhub.hku.hk. As always, we appreciate your support. If you'd like to get notified the next time we publish an episode, please be sure to subscribe to this podcast on the podcasting app of your choice. We also appreciate if you can like and subscribe on Facebook to get the word out. Until next time, enjoy your teaching, and if you're on summer break, enjoy that too. It's been a long year and you've earned it. Bye now.